hear how the missionaries are doing. James chapter 4. Sorry about that. Through 10, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Looks like I got a lot of time here, but I won't be taking too long. I am very tired, but I'll explain more later on. The Bible says this, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Verse 3. "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" Verse 6. "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Verse 8. "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." Verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for today, Lord. Like I said, Lord, just speak to us tonight. Help us understand something and learn something new tonight so that we might be able to apply it in our lives this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of my sermon tonight is "Humble Yourself Before the Lord." Humble yourself before the Lord. We have to understand that we are nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of Christians walk around thinking they know everything. They think they have everything under control. But like I said, the reality is that we are nothing without Him. And the fact of the matter is that we all just carry a bunch of problems. Every one of us in here has the ability to start problems in your own family, in your own relationships, and even here in the church. And I'll prove it to you with the Bible from what we just read right now. Let's go ahead and jump into our first point for tonight. Let's look at verse 1. He says this, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members?" We see here in verse 1, James tells us where our problems come from. He first asks us the question of where wars and fightings come among us. And then he says again, "Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members?" All these lusts and evil desires, they come from where? Our own members. As humans, we naturally lust after the things of this world. We can lust over sexual sin. Sexual sin will mess up your life. It could mess up your relationships, your marriage, your family. The sin of pornography, you could become addicted to that, and it's just going to completely destroy you. Young people nowadays, the Bible says in First Timothy, I believe, or Second Timothy, that in the last days they're not going to want to marry anymore. The Bible says they will forbid marrying; they don't want to get married anymore, and they want to do what they want to do. They want to go out, sleep around. That's what our culture is about today. And sexual sin will completely destroy your life. If you're married, it will destroy your marriage. In a relationship, talking with a young lady, a young man, it could destroy your relationship. Maybe you say, "Brother Carlos, I'm young. I'm not married. I'm not in no relationship." But it can destroy your future. Even though you think you're 14, 15, 16, 17, you say I can mess around with that stuff, with sexual sin. No, you can't. Just because nothing's happening to you now, it can mess up your future. It will come back to you again in your future. we can lust for power. That's a big one right there, power. Nowadays we have dictators, they want power. I don't know much about the war in Ukraine, but I do know that Putin wants Ukraine, and he wants it bad. He even started a war for it. A lot of young people dying, a lot of people dying. It doesn't matter what age, and it's all because he wants Ukraine. Okay, and maybe you know more than I do of what's going on there, but he wants Ukraine. Power, it's all about power. World War II, Adolf Hitler started World War II. The man was crazy. His plans was world domination. He wanted to have a 1,000-year Third Reich reign. He wanted to control the whole world. That was literally his plan. For 1,000 years, Nazi Germany is going to control and run the world. That was his ultimate plan. These people, they lusted after power. Money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. A lot of people like to switch it and say, oh, money is just bad in general. No, the Bible says the love of money. Money isn't bad in general. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money can destroy your life as well. I've seen so many families destroyed because of money. Or I've seen in my old church, I remember businessmen, they would leave their families just because they wanted to run their business. And they wanted to make money and they wanted to do things their own way. Push away their family, don't watch their family, and mess up everything. Money. Okay? We also have vanity. Always trying to look good, always trying to impress others. As we were coming back from Tijuana, when you're crossing the border there and you're in the line, you see a lot of signs. And some of the signs that I saw a lot of was plastic surgery doctors. Okay, these doctors, they work on young ladies to make them better, look better. That's all vanity, folks. And that's a big thing right now, actually. Young ladies, they don't like how their body looks or how a certain part from their face looks. So they say, you know what, I'm just going to go get surgery. I want to look better. I want this, this, and that. Let me tell you something. God created you perfect already. You don't need to do any of that. That's all vanity. Makeup, tons and pounds of makeup. I have nothing against a woman wearing makeup or looking pretty. I think you should look pretty for your husband if you're married. And if you're single, you should look pretty so a young man could ask you out. But just too much of it, trying to grab attention, that could be vanity as well. Let's keep on going here. But he says, where do these problems come from? From our members. That lust, we lust after the things of the world. Our body, our flesh, lusts after it. Let's go ahead and jump to point two here. It says this, ask for his help and submit to him. Ask for God's help and submit to him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 41. This, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus tells us here in Matthew that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our flesh, folks, it's weak. Our flesh is the one that tells us not to read our Bibles. Our flesh is the one that tells us not to come to church. Our flesh is the one that tells us not to serve the Lord. And our flesh is the one that tells us not to live for Christ. It's our flesh. Our flesh is weak. Our flesh wants to do what it wants to do. Now, if you decide to give into your flesh, it's not going to come out right. Okay, because your flesh just wants to do wicked things. It wants to do what it wants to do. God wants us to submit to him. But our spirit is the one that is willing to do all those things that our flesh tells us not to do. This is why it is important that you meet with him, with the Lord, and ask for his help. Like I said, I just came back from Tijuana. And I was in charge of getting the Airbnb. I did it on time. I'm the type of person, I like to plan things out, and everything needs to be done on time, and it's ready to go. I did it all on time. We paid. Everything was good. When we got there late at night, well, it's late in Tijuana to be driving around 7:30 p.m. because it's dangerous, but we got there, and the building was completely empty. And I said, what in the world is going on here? And we had paid almost $600 for that Airbnb that we were supposed to stay at. And it was just completely empty. And I started going a bit crazy because I like to get my own room. I have to have my own room. I'm very private. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm extremely private. I want my own room. And there was nothing else we can do. We had put all our money into the Airbnb. And so the last thing to do was to go to a hotel and get a room for four guys. And I didn't like that very much, especially because one of my friends, he snores extremely loud, and I cannot sleep. I couldn't sleep at all. I probably only slept 6 hours these past 2 days combined, so I'm extremely tired. But when I woke up in the morning, you know, I told myself, I'm extremely tired. I didn't want to read my Bible. I didn't want to take a moment to pray or journal. But I said, you know what? I need to meet with God. And I'm glad I did. Those three other guys, they were asleep. All of them were snoring. And there I was, praying and journaling and trying to read my Bible. I needed that. I really did need that. And it's important, folks, that you take time and meet with the Lord and ask for His help. I've said this multiple times before. In the past, I've made a lot of foolish mistakes. A lot of foolish mistakes. All because I pushed my time with God, my Bible reading and journaling and praying, I pushed it aside. I said, you know what? I got this. I've made so many mistakes just because of that. Just because of that. Just because I pushed my time with God alone aside. And folks, that can happen to you as well. When you decide, you know what? I'm too busy. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to go to church. You're pushing God away, and everything's just going to go downhill. That's just how it is. If you're a true child of God, that's what's going to happen to you, and you're going to see it. But our spirit is the one that is willing to do that, but not our flesh. Always meet with God. Ask for His help. Let's go back to James chapter 4. James. Let's look at verse 6. James 4, 6. This, but He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud. He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He gives grace to the humble. God wants to give us of His grace. He wants to help us. But at the same time, He will resist the proud. He will push the proud Christian aside. A Christian that does not take time to humble himself before the Lord is a proud person. That's just what it is at the end of the day, folks. What you are basically saying when you don't humble yourself before the Lord is, I don't need you, God. I'm okay. That's what you're basically saying. You need to take time throughout your day, whether that be in the morning or the middle of the day or at night. Take time to humble yourself before the Lord. We need God's help. We can't do it alone. Let's look at verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let me read that one more time. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We are to submit ourselves to God. We are to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. The devil will flee from us. That's what the Bible says. The way you submit to God, it's nothing magical. It's nothing, you know, oh, is this hard? No, the way you submit to God is by obeying what He's commanded you to do. That's how you submit to God. Now, I know a lot of times as humans, it can be difficult to obey what God has commanded us to do or has commanded us on how to live. But I want to share with you a verse here. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a great verse. I've read 1 Corinthians a lot of times, okay? I don't know how I would admit. I just found out about this verse like a month ago. Like I said, I've read 1 Corinthians multiple times. I don't know why it took me forever to notice this verse. This is an amazing verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Let's keep on reading. He says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. That's what the Bible says here, folks. We see here in the verse we just read that there is no temptation. The Bible says there is no temptation that has taken us over. He also says that God is faithful. Okay, he's faithful and he will not let us suffer to be tempted over something that we cannot handle. The Apostle Paul goes on to say that with the temptation, God has already made a way for us to escape it and that we will be able to bear it. That's what that verse is saying. This verse has basically given us Christians, the strength to know that we can overcome sin. Okay, and that God has already created a way of escape for us when the temptation arises. This is a powerful verse. He says, there had no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Look at towards the end. He says, but with the temptation also make a way to escape. Basically, folks, and this is just the reality of it. In your life, okay, you make the choices. You call the shots. It's your choice, okay? You're the one that called it if you want to sin against God. That's up to you. God has already created a way for us to escape whatever it is, the temptation, and he's going to help us bear it. At the end of the day, it is our fault if we choose to sin. Young man, young lady, it's your fault. Okay? Father, mother, it's your fault. It's not on your... You don't want to go around blaming your mom, your dad, my parents, my grandma, my grandpa, this, that. No, at the end of the day, it's your fault. You decided to sin against God. Let's go ahead and go back to James chapter 4, verse 8. James tells us here to draw nigh to him. Verse 8, he says this, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Like I said, he encourages here to draw nigh to him, and then he will draw nigh to us, okay? Remember, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it's our fault because God has already created a way for us to escape temptation. He has already created a way. And one way is that we are to draw nigh to him. Okay? And then he will draw nigh to us. It's up to you, folks. That's just the way it is. You need to say, am I going to obey God or am I going to do what I want to do? Am I going to humble myself before the Lord and ask for his help or am I going to be proud? Remember, what does the Bible say? God resists the who? The proud. He's going to resist you if you say, you know what, I don't want none of this. I don't want the word of God in my life. I don't want to take time to come to church. I don't want to take time to read my Bible and pray. Well, God's going to have to resist you as well. You're just being proudful. It's important, folks, that we humble ourselves before the Lord. And that brings us to my third point tonight. I went a little fast there. We still have a lot of time, but I'll take some time here. asking the Lord and submitting yourself to him is a sign of humbleness. Asking God for help and submitting yourself to him is a great sign of humbleness in your life. Once you have asked for his help and you have submitted yourself to the Lord, that is a sign of humbleness in your life, and God will have great favor towards you. We'll read verse 10 right now, but I want to share this real quick. I've said this before. I remember when I wasn't saved, I was a huge clown, and I was always doing things I shouldn't be doing. But I remember when I got saved, I was working there at Chick-fil-A, and all my friends were asking me, "Yo, Carlos, what's going on with you? You're different. You're not doing the things you used to do." I'm not going to mention the things I used to do, but they say, you know, "You change. What's going on with you?" Okay? And then it was that at first, okay? And then I started reading my Bible, and I started praying. And I just started getting better. And, you know, people, they started taking me serious now. You know what? I was humbling myself before the Lord. And when you do that, folks, God sees your heart. He sees that you take the time to seek him and to ask him for help. God's going to have favor towards you. He's going to bless you. Let's look at verse 10. The Bible says this: "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Just a basic verse, just like that. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Okay? He says to humble yourselves before the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What this verse is basically saying is that those that walk with the Lord and obey him will stick out more, whether that be in church or outside of the church. When in the church, you can tell who is walking with the Lord, who's taking God serious. You can tell, okay? It's clear, all right? And I'll show you. You will see that those people that walk with God, that one of God, you see them faithfully coming to the house of God. Just faithful. Straight up faithful. I'm not going to mention any names, but I see some of you here, and it's encouraging to me. I know you guys are busy. You're always working. And you got things to do around the house. And you're just faithful to church. And I've had some people tell me, you know, Brother Carlos, it feels weird when I miss a Sunday morning or Sunday night. Amen. Okay? Why? Because on Sunday morning and on Sunday night, you should be where? In the house of God. Amen? And you'll see that they're faithful to the house of God. You will see that they are always serving around the church. There's just so much to do around this church. So much to do around the church. And when somebody is walking with God, they get that motivation from the Word of God to do something at church, in the house of God. That's where it all comes from. You'll see them there. You will see them out soul winning, okay? Or serving here with our bus ministry, or teaching the kids. Amen. I like I said, I didn't want to go to Mexico, but I had to because I had to go to my friend's wedding. I really wanted to be here Sunday morning for the teen class and junior church. The kids were so excited about junior church last Sunday, but I told them right when we're starting it, I already had to put a pause on it because I have to go to Mexico for a wedding. And then I'm going to another wedding towards the end of September. Everyone's getting married, but I had to put a pause on it. I didn't want to. I was excited for that. You'll see those people, they're out here serving the Lord, soul winning. These people that are out and about around the church, like I said, they get their motivation. The motivation comes from reading the Word of God. Folks, if you took time throughout your day, throughout the week, to read the Word of God, you're going to feel motivated. Okay? And once you read the Word of God and you do what the Word of God says, you're actually obeying it and living it, you're going to be extremely motivated. I don't know about you, but that's what I've noticed in my life. When I read the Bible and then I start doing a lot of what it's telling me to do, you're going to be motivated to come to church. That's just how it is. But if you're disconnecting yourself from the Word of God, you're not going to be motivated at all. But that's your choice. You're the one that has to make that choice. Like I said, and other people around the church, they see that. And they even start thinking highly of them. I think highly of a lot of you guys in here tonight. I really do. And I feel like some of you guys should be in my position leading everything else. I really do. When I see people serving the Lord, they're just faithful to the house of God. I have great respect for them. That's just how it is. And maybe you don't think that. You think, man, nobody notices. It's all right if nobody notices. At the end of the day, God does notice. He's looking down. But I will tell you this, folks. There is people in church, they notice what you're doing around in church. And I don't want to make you feel bad, right? If you're those type of people, you don't take church serious or serving in church. I'm just saying, people can see, okay? When you're out and about around the church, you're those people, you're out visiting, soul winning, doing something in the church, doing something basic, you know, just taking out the trash or something easy. People see it, folks. People are always watching. They're always watching. That's just how we are as humans, right? We like to watch people. Sometimes we won't say anything, but we're watching. People are watching. You could even say when they are outside of church, okay? If you're the type of Christian that you're always humbling yourself before the Lord, you're taking time to read your Bible, you're taking time, your time throughout the week to pray. People, even outside of the church, it doesn't just have to be inside of the church. People outside of church notice, hey, there's something different with that guy over there. There's something different with that lady over there. Unbelievers will see something different in the Christian that humbles himself before the Lord. They will see how you talk with them, clean language, and they will see the love that the Christians share with others around them. You know, people see that, folks. They notice what kind of language you use when you're around. Like I said, I used to be a huge clown, and I did not use good language. I really had to practice stopping the type of language that I used to use. Okay, when I went to Bible college for 4 years, all my friends that knew me, okay, when I went to Bible college for 4 years, I didn't see them for 4 years. I came back. And when I was having a conversation with them, their jaws dropped. I said, "What's going on? Did something happen to me?" Or they said, "Yo, yeah, you talk like you're very well educated, and you don't use the old language you used to use." You know, because I was practicing righteousness while I was out there in Bible college. The Lord was preparing me, and they said, "You know, you don't talk the same anymore." And they know that when I was in school, I wasn't the smartest. I didn't have the best grades. And they say, you know, even your English, it's improved. They told me, you talk like a white guy. I was like, what are you talking about? You said your English is just, you don't talk like those Mexicans that are from the street anymore. You talk your English is crazy. It's different. And I was like, what are you talking? But that people notice your language, folks. They notice it. Or you want to be in here tonight and you want to sound all cool, saying all this slang and all that. People notice that. They notice how you handle yourself. And when somebody outside of the church, they see you, they say, something's different with that person. I don't know if you were here that night when I shared the story. I was working security at Amazon. And I won't go through the whole thing. I already shared this story, but this is for the people that weren't here. I was having a conversation with a young lady, and she told me right away, you know, there's something different about you. And there was something going on in my life. I didn't want to tell her that I was a Christian, but she kept on saying, you know, there's something different about you. You don't talk like the other guys. And I was like, ah. And then I finally told her, yeah, it's because I'm a Christian. People notice that, folks. They notice your language, how you handle yourself. Maybe you could serve somebody outside of church. Show them love. Nowadays, we don't see that. For them, love is embracing their sin. That's what love is in the world nowadays. Embracing fornication. Embracing homosexuality. Embracing adultery. That's what they see as love. Oh, love. Love. No, folks, that's not love. Love is obeying what God has told us to obey on how to live. Okay, that's what love is. And when you show it to people with your actions, they're going to see a difference. People are always, always watching. And I'll end with this. I know we're a little early, but I'll end with this. My question to you tonight is, are you humbling yourself before the Lord daily to receive of His strength and wisdom? Are you doing that? Are you taking your time? You're going to notice a great change in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't picked up your Bible in months. You haven't taken the time. Because I know we can be driving and praying or walking and praying, but I'm talking about actually taking time throughout your day. Maybe have a prayer journal. Just sit down in your room alone and actually pray to the Lord and thank Him for the many blessings He's giving you, right? Or asking Him for something you need. Have you taken time to do that? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Carlos, I haven't picked up my Bible in a while. I've been getting away from the things of the Lord. I want to start taking God serious. Then amen. Today's the day you start that. Amen. Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. Don't resist Him, because then God will resist you as well. He resisteth the proud. He pushes the proud away. Are you humbling yourself before the Lord? Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes for a word of prayer, and then we'll have Mr. Dahlman come on up and dismiss us in a hymn. Let's pray. We thank You, Lord.